The Darling River and Menindee Lakes are in crisis. We are working hard to bring out and share the personal lived stories and facts surrounding the problem to the people of Australia and around the world. We aim to do this in plain language that everyone can understand. You are listening to The Vanishing River, Voices from the Darling, a radio series interviewing real people living along the Barwon-Darling River system in western New South Wales, outback Australia. The interviews in this series were recorded in April and May 2018, and please stay tuned.
What lies in the shallows where I have just been? Dead fish and blue algae, still water gone green. Weak banks that are falling, dissolving below. What's this I am seeing? Does anyone know? Won't someone please wake me? I'm not really here. There's no way, just go away. This country's too dear. Old trees that are dying, leaves fall as their tears. They've lived amongst beauty for hundreds of years. Sick stock that won't water, wildlife dying near. No hope for my darling, the message is clear. Won't someone please take me where I can be heard? The darling is dying, please take my word.
I'm Tony Smith, and I was born in Wentworth, here where we were sitting. And I was fifth generation on a farm that's about 70 kilometres up the Darling River. We've had that for around 145 years now.
Are you happy to be living on a vanishing river?
I'm happy to be living on the river. I'm not happy to be living on a vanishing river. The Darling River affects my life because of where we are at the moment, managing the caravan park. Over the years, I've noticed the degradation of the Darling happening. And it's something that I've noticed happening for the last 30 years of my life, living on the river and being small irrigators. We could see years ago that blue-green algae, a frothy foam coming down the water at times, you know, that made no sense to me, you know. So the river was always a happy place, you know, but as we saw that happening to the Darling, it was something we couldn't put our finger on. But, you know, over time, we've realised this drainage from irrigation up top and mostly the cotton farms there. And I'm not pointing fingers at the everyday farmer who's trying to raise his family. It's corporations who buy the farms, don't care about downstream, all they care about is shareholder and dollar.
Industrial runoff is industrial runoff, no matter who's doing it, and there are laws about that.
Yeah.
Has there ever been any testing done on that substance?
Look, not that I know of, but just over the years, we know it's fertiliser into the water coming off the floodplains. It used to be the good catchment water going into the dams, and the dams pushing out their old water, which is their fertilised. It's got more nutrients in it than the natural water would have in it. You know, that's where the damage comes from.
Now, Tony, if you can tell me simply, what is going wrong with the Darling River today?
Mismanagement would be my simplest answer. It's over-extraction of water, redirecting of water on the floodplains, putting in roads that they call roads that are actually levee banks to funnel the water into man-made dams or catchment areas that aren't naturally supposed to catch the water.
So what happens if you take a river that's been flowing for millions of years and stop the water flowing in that river? What happens?
You get a collapsing ecosystem. It doesn't take a million years to collapse the ecosystem. It only takes a few years. And the Darlings, you can see with all the billabongs and old estuaries and lakes where it used to run, the water course changes, but that's not man-affected over those millions of years, but now it is.
What's the feeling in your community about what's happening to the Darling River today?
In the community, there's anger. There's anger about the pipeline from Wentworth to Broken Hill, because people can see that if that pipeline goes in and darts up and gives water to Broken Hill, I don't begrudge the people of Broken Hill water. It's just the way it's being done. Pushed on us without our shire, the Wentworth Shire, wanting it. The Broken Hill Shire doesn't want it, but the federal government said we're going to go ahead and do it. As soon as that pipe lay goes in, we don't need water down the Darling below Menindi, pretty much, because they don't consider there's any extensive irrigation or people that need water down there.
What about the habitat?
That's right. Well, I don't think they care about the habitat. Look, I've never been a green voter, but I can see that the Greens could help save the river. Although sometimes I find their views radical, I think they could really help with this side of things. And I know they've got the power. Jeremy Buckingham's working hard to get it out there. I don't care about irrigation. I don't care if we never irrigate on the farm again, as long as we've got a river. It just needs to be there.
I mean, you don't have to be a greenie to understand that if you stop a river from flowing, that's going to come back on us.
Oh, yeah. Look, the people on the East Coast don't understand. It doesn't affect them at the moment, but it will affect them, because once they've dried up the Darling and the Murray, they're going to say, where do we get our water from next? And where do we get our produce from? And the Murray's not a free-flowing river either. It's held back by locks, you know. So once they start taking too much water out of the Murray, the next person down the river's going to go, where's the water gone? The Darling and the Murray are both in jeopardy at the moment.
In regards to what's happening to water in the Northern Basin, do you think we should have a federal royal commission into water?
No doubt. No doubt a royal commission is the only way they're going to get to the bottom of what's happening. They just had one into banking, which they didn't want, and found out all the corruption that was happening. Those people should go to jail, and the same thing should happen with the people who are mismanaging water on the river.
This is The Vanishing River, Voices from the Darling. Interviews with real people affected by ever-diminishing flows along Australia's iconic Darling River.
Jail time to make people realise that you can't mess with nature. It's ridiculous. Royal Commission's the only thing, really, that will get to the bottom of it.
So the Royal Commission would have to look at the sale of extraction licences?
They'll have to go to the government, find out why Barnaby Joyce sold water rights off Tandow Station for $73 million or whatever it was, when they only valued it about $25 million for a start. Where do they get the figures from? People lining pockets?
A lot of people think there's corruption in the New South Wales government.
I don't think they're wrong.
A lot of people think that corruption extends into the federal realm as well.
I would have to. Look at the banking. You know, banking's supposed to be secure and safe. The Royal Commission into banking, how much has it found that's of lying and corruption and extortion?
What's your message to people in the suburbs of our major cities, you know, that actually have... They don't even drink tap water.
Yeah.
They drink bottled water. Because what's your message to them about the Darling or the Northern Basin?
Message to the people listening on the eastern coast, southern, Western Australia, anywhere there's a river that can be bought, sold by companies, government, have a look at the Darling River. It's dying. It's being killed. It's not dying. It's being killed, murdered. You know, the mismanagement that's happening will spread further and further. The more people can make money out of it, they'll try and cover it up. You won't see it in the media. People power's the only way they're going to stop it, so... People coming up and down that river doing the Darling run because they want to see from the start of the Darling to where it meets the Murray. If they don't do something about it, there won't be a Darling River. It'll be a Murray backing up 40 kilometres and the rest of it will be dry.
But that would just spin off to be a dust bowl.
That's
just going to kill the entire western region.
People don't realise that. It affects people living on the river. We understand. But, you know, if you don't live on it, you see a little bit on the news about the Darling River and you might open half an ear but get back to your everyday work. Have a good listen to what's happening to the Darling River, how corrupt the politicians are, how the corporations are killing it. I see it written down, you know, I can't remember it exactly now, but when they realise that they can't drink money, it's all going to be too late.
Yeah,
we used to drink the water out of the river. I used to drink it straight out of the tap. There was nothing wrong with the Darling River water. Now, it's green and slimy and, you know, at the moment...
This action over the last 30 years has resulted in human deaths.
Yes. Suicides. You're talking about suicides. Nobody should lose their lives in any way. But I can see that if there's going to be a water shortage, there'll be desperate farmers, desperate people out there who go, I've got nothing to lose, and make a statement. It's happened in other countries, just to make people wake up and take notice. I can see an old farmer. He knows he's only got 6 months to go. Go and make a statement with somebody that's doing the wrong thing with the water. You can just imagine it happening. The further and further it gets out of hand, instead of taking their own life, somebody's going to take someone else's life.
And there's a lot of anger. in the indigenous population. This fellow I was interviewing said, you know, it won't be a black guy who does something silly. It'll be a white landholder who has got nothing to lose.
Yep. Someone who's only a few generations on a farm who's going to lose everything. And they're going to let the bottom end of the Darling dry out. Where's the breeding, fish breeding, and all that sort of stuff going to happen? You know, they can't go up the Murray and breed in the Hume Dam.
What do you think about water trading? Do you know much about that?
Just over the years, we've sold excess water that we didn't need, or bought excess water.
Yeah, in regard to
irrigation, as far as we knew back then, we could only buy water from upstream. I think it was, so it was going to come past us anyway. But there's been inter-river trading, you know, like river to river, which is ridiculous. We're talking about a piece of paper. To make this clear, it's just a bit of paper. It goes through administration to the other property, and it's up to them. They can suck the water out of the river. You lose the right to suck the water out of the river, and they gain it.
But it's a different river.
It's a different river. So that's inter-river trading, which is stupid. That's government, but that's the mismanagement. And that's what they look at. The people that have got the money lobby the government, Cotton Australia, Mining Australia, or whatever they are.
This is The Vanishing River, Voices from the Darling. Interviews with real people affected by ever-diminishing flows along Australia's iconic Darling River.
The Indigenous people, you know, they only ever took as much as they needed, not more than they needed. You know, the river ebbed and flowed, and when it was down, they were a bit nomadic, so they could go elsewhere and come back to the river when the water was in it. But it's not natural what's happening, so it doesn't fit in with the laws of the last 1,000 years, not 60,000 years. Yeah. The Barkindji people are the river people, not having the river. When it's dry, the crime rate goes through the roof, you know, in Wilcannia and places like that, because it's not natural to have the no water there. The water flows again, things calm down. Suicides there because, you know, the water means so much to those guys. Over thousands of years, they've had the water there. It's a human rights issue, the Darling River. You know, and the other thing is, you know, people say, yeah, but the Darling goes dry. But over the period of my father's lifetime, born in 1940 to 2000, the Darling went dry 2 times in his memory, and that's not flowing. Now, all the other times that people write about the Darling went dry, there was always a stream of water flowing down the Darling. Whether it was 1 foot wide, 2 foot wide, it was always flowing through the holes. Now, that's not dry. That's still running. But the people who want to take the water from the river and make money out of it say, yeah, but the Darling runs dry. Well, that's saying dry. No water running, a series of holes. Well, that's only happened pretty much since 2000, where the river's dried out to that state with no water running down it, no stream running from hole to hole, dry. A few holes here and there, but you've got 200 metres of dry riverbed, no water running. And that's because of over-extraction. It is a human rights issue. Well, they want to decommission the Menindee Lakes. They're a natural system, but they're saying that what they've done to them to make water hold back is artificial. There's another theory that there's a lot of iron ore underneath Menindee Lakes. Dry it up, mine the ore. Yeah. More mining. It's not far from Broken Hill, Menindee.
What about Menindee?
There was grapes up there. I actually drove a grape harvester and went up there, and grapes and fruit trees. It was thriving around the lake there, and now it's just dead vines and...
And tourism there.
Yep, tourism's gone. I remember going up there as a kid. There were sailboats out in the lake, you know. We went up there and looked, and I thought we were near the ocean, you know, as a kid. You go up there now and you think near the Simpson Desert. The opposite.
Because of over-extraction.
Over-extraction out of the Darling River. Corporations taking too much. People are told about it, but they get on with their everyday lives because it's not affecting them. If people could see how controlled, dependent the government makes them, how the banking system keeps them broke. It's all very radical. I know it sounds radical, but the more and more you hear about it and look into it, the more you think, wow, these people that are out there telling us this stuff are actually onto something. But because we go about everyday lives and things don't seem too bad until the shit hits the fan, excuse my French, then it's too late. And the shit's hitting the fan with the Darling River, and not enough people are getting splattered yet, but it's going to happen.
That's for sure. Thanks, Tony.
No, my pleasure. To the end.
This is The Vanishing River, Voices from the Darling. Interviews with real people affected by ever-diminishing flows along Australia's iconic Darling River. The Vanishing River, Voices from the Darling. is produced by Earthling Studios at Grassy Head, New South Wales. Executive producer, Mark Merritt. Field coordinators and technical assistants by Susie Peake and Kath Eaglesham. Interviews by Mark Merritt and Kath Eaglesham. Voiceovers by Sally Hook. Please write to us with your feedback. Post Office Box 30, Stewart's Point, New South Wales, 2441.
The darling is dying, please take my word. Her spirit is leaving, her beauty is mud. How could something so peaceful become so scarred?
Earthling Studios is an independent media production collective devoted to informing with facts and trends about those things that determine our collective futures. To contact Earthling Studios, send an email to earthlingstudioproductions@gmail.com. That is all one word with no spaces. Or mail your letter to us at Post Office Box 30, Stewart's Point, New South Wales 2441. That is Post Office Box 30, Stewart's Point, New South Wales 2441. To find out more about issues and matters related to the Darling River, go to the Vanishing River website, www.thevanishingriver.com.au. thevanishingriver.com.au.
I don't think they seem to realise if the rivers die, we all virtually are stuffed, aren't we?